you know, to use a bad Bush cliche, finally, you know, turning the corner.
Oh, exactly. There's gracious, you know, there's plenty of work to do, and it's all in front of us. But at least we've got a chance now. We're at the plate.
Absolutely, David. And I'm sorry, I'm going to have to cut you short because I got to do credits and get out of here. But man, it's so good to hear from you. Ring in a little earlier next time because I love chatting with you, and I haven't had a good chat with you since Fourth Estate. So please don't be a stranger.
Well, you're very gracious, and of course I'll participate whenever I can.
Right on, mate. You have a great night, and keep just bask in the sunshine of the victory of last night. I just think it's a big step in the right direction. And thanks for ringing in, mate.
You bet. Cheers.
All right. All right. Take care. All right, kids. I'm up against the gun, I believe, here. Probably got less than a minute to go. So, as usual, we must always thank the Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters. They make everything here happen on the horn. Thank you to Agnes for producing. Thank you, Peter, for your computer work. Thank you, Scott Berry, for the music library and B1 Ladder Productions. And this is John Fox. Bob Kincaid coming up next, and the mighty Bruce Birch to wrap up the evening after that. We'll see you tomorrow.
Nowhere hope news was going to come from that. This one we learned from a young lady who had spent a lot of time traveling with various groups, bands.
Yeah, well, she was doing a lot of other things, too.
Oh, love that. Love that, please, Al. This is a family crowd.
Are we sure of that?
An extended family crowd.
Yeah. Let's extend it all the time.
We learned this little ditty.
Policy in Iraq is not working fast enough or well enough, and that he and Rumsfeld agreed that a new perspective is needed. 12 years of Republican control of the House have ended after the Democrats picked up 33 seats. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who's almost certain to become the next House Speaker, was conciliatory in a speech today as she spoke of a new direction for all Americans. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert told Republican lawmakers today that he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. Mr. Bush said today that he spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who said she welcomed Rumsfeld's resignation as a signal of a new approach on the Iraq War. The last Senate seat that has not been decided yet is in Virginia. The race between Republican incumbent George Allen and Democratic challenger Jim Webb is still too close to call. However, Webb does hold a slight lead, and if it holds, the Democrats will have 51 seats in the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. 8 of the dead were children who were killed in their sleep. About 60 people, including 26 children, were reportedly wounded. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has suspended talks on forming a unity government. From Syria, the exiled leader of Hamas said the 2005 truce with Israel is over and called for renewed attacks against Israel. In Iraq today, Parliament voted to extend the country's state of emergency for 30 more days. More than 60 Iraqis were either killed or found dead today, including 8 who died in attacks on a soccer field in the Shiite district. Also, the U.S. military reported the deaths of a U.S. soldier and a Marine, raising the death toll so far this month to at least 21. In Kentucky today, a former U.S. soldier pleaded not guilty to rape and murder charges of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the deaths of 3 of her family members. The attack happened in March. If convicted, the soldier could be sentenced to death. At the United Nations, the General Assembly has voted for the U.S. to end its decades-old trade embargo against Cuba. The embargo was imposed after Fidel Castro fought off the CIA-backed Bay of Pigs assault in 1961. President Bush nominated former CIA Director Robert Gates today to take over as Defense Secretary. That followed current Secretary of Defense Donald Rumsfeld's announcement that he is resigning. President Bush also conceded that his policy in Iraq is not working fast enough or well enough, and that he and Rumsfeld agreed that a new perspective is needed. 12 years of Republican control of the House have ended after the Democrats picked up 33 seats. House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who's almost certain to become the next House Speaker, was conciliatory in a speech today as she spoke of a new direction for all Americans. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert told Republican lawmakers today that he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. Mr. Bush said today that he spoke with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, who said she welcomed Rumsfeld's resignation as a signal of a new approach on the Iraq War. The last Senate seat that has not been decided yet is in Virginia. The race between Republican incumbent George Allen and Democratic challenger Jim Webb is still too close to call. However, Webb holds a slight lead, and if it holds, the Democrats will have 51 seats in the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. Eight of the dead were children who were killed in their sleep. About 60 people, including 26 children, were reportedly wounded. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has suspended talks on forming a unity government. From Syria, the exiled leader of Hamas said the 2005 truce with Israel is over and called for renewed attacks against Israel. At the United Nations Conference on Climate Change today, a Nobel Peace Prize winner from Kenya called on people around the world to plant 1 billion trees over the next year. She said it's a way ordinary people can help the environment and help combat global warming. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next.
I say for God.
Okay! Don't you stop America!
I beg you!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Now, head on with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. Good evening. We took us some pigs out behind the woodshed and whooped a little ass last night, yesterday. We sure enough did, didn't we?
Yeah, I reckon them Republicans ain't gonna run no House of Representatives in their Senate no more. Some people call it a banana blade. I call it a sling blade, and we used it on them.
No, but it is Wednesday, and you know what that means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Dang straight. I can't think of a better... This may very well be the very bestest prayer meeting ever we have had. And we're going to have... We will have fun. And we're going to ask some questions along the way, too. One of the questions I would like to have answered... And I don't know, maybe it's just a generic answer of because they suck. Why in the last week, week and a half, 2 weeks, every time you turned on some alphabet soup network, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, CNBC, ABC, NBC, CBS, beep, 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 every time you did that, you heard,
well, the races certainly are tightening, aren't they, Fred?
Oh, yes, they are, Bill. They're tightening every day. They're getting so tight. And, well, a couple of days ago, oh, it's neck and neck between Mr. Whitehouse and Mr. Chafee in Rhode Island. You cannot put, you could not slide a piece of paper between them. But you know what? It was a blowout. Lincoln Chafee got gut stomped. And you know, we were on the air till roughly 2:10, 2:15 this morning Eastern time, and I walked away from the studio and walked away from the microphone a happy but exhausted fellow. And Agnes was asleep, and I turned on the television box with the sound very low so as not to disturb her slumber. And just out of a sense of morbid, I mean morbid curiosity, I went over to the Fox News channel. And it was surprisingly sedate. It was calm like a Roman bath full of warm water. And little Republicans getting ready to get in the tub and do the thing with the sharp blade. But then I went to MSNBC, and I saw Chris Matthews talking down to Keith Olbermann. And had it not been by this time, about 3 o'clock in the morning here, boy, get up and go get me a peanut butter and banana sandwich and the Elvis gun. I'm a-shooting the TV again. It was disgusting. And on top of it, then Chris Matthews says, well, you know how he screams. I can't do Chris Matthews. But he declared that tonight's election, this is a quote nearly, tonight's election is a triumph of conservatism. I kid you not. It was obviously a rerun from sometime earlier in the evening, I do believe. Once they were sure that everything was safe and they could bring Keith Olbermann on, they finally let him have a little bit of the action. But yeah, Chris Matthews declared that the Democratic gut stomping of the Republican Party was a triumph of conservatism. Voters in six separate states approved their own minimum wage initiatives. Where's the triumph of conservatism in that? Short answer, it ain't. Where's the triumph of conservatism in, as our good friend and colleague John Fox pointed out, the victory of an organic farmer over just an insane person, Conrad Burns? Where's the conservative triumph in that? Where's the conservative triumph in Claire McCaskill's rat slapping of Jim Talent? Where's the conservative triumph of that scion of the conservative movement, Kent Blackwell, getting just taken out and whipped? And whipped again, and when he hollered, getting whipped a little bit more Strickland, running for governor of Ohio. But you know, that's one of the questions we have to answer. Now that because the job is not over, the work is not done, the work only begins now. And part of the work, the biggest part of the work is making sure that Democrats act like Democrats. I know. There's even our good friend Mark Levine this afternoon was talking about how we weren't going to be nasty like the Republicans were. That we were going to reach across the aisle, we were going to coalition build, and we were going to be friendly. I don't have room in my life for friendly to these bastards. I don't want to reach across the aisle to them. They don't deserve power. We have seen how they... Look! We have our feet on their neck. All we have to do is step a little harder. And I'm not going to get all Abraham Lincoln with malice toward none and charity toward all. Well, Mrs. Lincoln, how was the theater apart from everything else? No, sorry. I don't have any time for that. We have work to do, and the work we have to do, we cannot do with the Republicans. They tried to lead. They couldn't. They will not follow. The only thing they can do is get out of the way. Because they are in the way. Them with their bigotry. Them with their prejudice. Them with their fear-mongering. Hell, it wasn't a week ago that George Bush was standing up saying, well, if the Democrats take over the Congress, then the terrorists win. And today he's making kissy face with, making nicey with Nancy Pelosi? No, sunshine, no. She needs to stick by her guns, and I hope to God she will. And there had better not be any deals in the dark with people like John Conyers when they, well, you know, you can have the chairmanship of the House Judiciary Committee, but there better not be any investigations of George Bush, because we've got to lead from the center. No. Because what we fail to remember is that even though we have a majority now, it doesn't make the Republican Party one damn bit less dangerous. And they will holler, and they will scream, and they will cry out unto the heavens about, oh, tax and spend liberal Democrats are going to turn this country over to the terror. And you and I both know that to be true, don't we? Yes, we do. I tell you what, I'm sure there's a lot to talk about tonight. Burn up the phone lines if you want to. 877-443-2366. Make this little telephone look like a Christmas tree. Let's go to David in Tennessee. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Hello, Bob. Ain't it a great day?
It is a beautiful day.
But you have already alluded to, and you've given me the perfect little thing to go forward on. Us Democratic folks, we have had a great interview, and we got the job. We got to get our asses to work now.
Yeah.
And I don't know where you and I, you know, I hate it to try to pin things down to numbers when it comes to something as vital as this, but I heard a guy on an interview the other day say he was all in favor of an 80-20 rule. Let's spend 80% of the congressional time on the things that ought to happen, but only maybe 20% of the time on trying to pin the wanted poster on the donkey. And I'm not sure that's all wrong. Maybe 30% of the time, you know, because if we just like refund that Inspector General in Iraq, give him a staff that matters. He'll find enough that we'll tie enough cans to enough tails that, you know, they'll be rattling around for the next decade in prison.
Yeah, and he was a Republican lawyer too, David. But I'm guessing after the treatment that he got at the hands of the Bush administration.
Oh, I think he'd be real revved up.
Yeah, he might be into taking a nice staff full of really mean lawyers and finding all the skeletons in all the closets.
I'm thinking a cheap lunch and a day back in the States and just say, why don't you tell me how many people you need on your end while we wrap this up over there over the next 12 months? How many people do you really need to, like, get the facts out of the ground over there? So when we come back over here and we got time, we can plod through this and verify that there was $27 million in that pocket that shouldn't have been there and $48 million in that pocket that shouldn't have been there. How's about, you know, what do you need to make sure we have testimony and facts and all the rest of it? You know, I'm sure he's intensely motivated because he's in a dangerous part of the world. A man could have been killed for doing his job. Gee whiz, you get killed on a freeway over here or an interstate, but it's a little bit different over there. And they just said, nah, we don't need you. You're not funded anymore. Go away.
You kind of wonder if they even paid him enough to, I mean, did they shut down the funding before he bought the plane ticket or after? I mean,
He may be over there right now, not able to come back to the house. For all we know, they stranded his butt.
We'll audit for Humus.
Thank you. We'll audit for Camel Ride. So, anyway, But you know what? That's wonderful that you brought me that little detail, brought your listeners that little detail, that last night Mr. Matthews was squawking about it's some kind of conservative victory, because today, with great joy, incredible anticipation, I took 2 hours and 15 minutes at a phlegm bowl.
Tell me.
That's exactly what he said. This was, my friends, this was a failure of the Republican Party. It was not a failure of conservatism. If conservatism and its vision had been offered the American people, there would have been another victory. This was the Republican Party stepping away from conservatism. It was a victory for the conservative way of thinking.
The beauty in all of that, and we talked a little bit last night in the extended coverage about the fact that Rush is clearly not working on his recovery from his habit.
Bob, no, gee willikers, you've listened to a lot of music, you've played music on the radio, I've spent way too much time in bars hearing bands that people have heard of and mostly haven't heard of. I'm a firm believer in cut one, side one. If cut one, side one doesn't make you want to hear the rest of it, why the hell did you make the record? Today, Rush Limbaugh's first 10 minutes didn't contain one diagrammable sentence. It was slurred words, goofy BS. It was nearly as bad as the chimp when he fessed up to needing to fire Rummy, and there's not a damn thing different about Rummy today that wasn't in place, obvious, in blinking neon, and aware to a third grader 3 stinking years ago. And Rush was just out of it, wandering around, hitting his head on the wall because he couldn't see it. So, yeah, he's dirty.
Well, and you know, but I think back to the oxymoron, David, and you know, for him to say something like that, he's not in touch with reality. He's not in touch with anything approaching honesty. This is a guy who was single-handedly responsible for what will be the Democratic majority in the Senate. Jim Talent was on the way to winning until he sat there in front of his webcam and did the Parkinson's boogaloo for the entire world to see in shock, horror, and shame. That man, Flush Flimball, and I hope the Republican Party figures it out, that man put a knife in him. Now,
you know, what's so amazing about that, Bob, is that on his broadcast today, he bragged about the fact that he is being blamed for that because, and again I quote, and I won't do the accent because I don't do it as well as you do, he bragged about that very thing because he said, if they're saying that about me, it proves that I am a kingmaker. And my listeners have known this for decades.
Well, I'll take it in a different direction, David. Limbaugh, that fool, is not interested. You know, he's a hot air balloon. He's lots of things that we don't want to say even on family oriented internet radio.
He's the equivalent of a lampshade on the head at the party.
Yeah, well, exactly. And he had, you know what? You know who the happiest man in America was this morning?
Who, me? No,
Rush Limbaugh.
Because
he no longer has to prop up these loser propositions from the Republican Party. He can operate. He can go back to operating in the abstract now and be on nothing but the attack, because that is where he belongs.
Time out.
Yes.
This is very important, and a bolt of lightning will come through my second bedroom and kill me dead if I'm not telling the truth. For everybody that listens to this show, you have to understand that Bob Kincaid is a card-carrying genius, because Rush Limbaugh today said, and again I quote, I don't want to throw the party most likely to reflect my values, but at least now I am liberated because I don't have to carry the water of weak people in the party I care about that won't carry their own water. At least now I can free myself of doing the things I felt duty-bound, honor-bound to do for a man that I know is a great president. So I don't, you must have been listening today.
No, not a peep. Not a word.
Well, then you are, you need to get that Mensa application filled out, son, because you're on your way.
No, I can't. I still can't do the Sudoku puzzles or whatever. No, I can't.
What a pain in the butt that crap is. Anybody that could spend any time with, you know, a 6 and a 4, what's different from a 6 and a 4 than a 6 and a 3? Well, I could care. Or should?
Yeah, you know, I sit down with one of those puzzles, and my question begins: at what point do I wedge a shot of brown liquor in between the two?
there's some commercial product, and they've got this commercial. If Tuesday is like Thursday, why is meatball? And the answer is blue. And then they go, I know, it's Netflix. I don't get that. Thank you, Netflix, for finally revealing most of those things. It's idiot. But I'm serious. Today, Limbaugh said, this frees me from having to carry water for those of the Republican Party that are too weak or not bright enough to do it for themselves.
And he can go back to being a trenchant observer in the culture and giving direction to a directionless, broken party.
Yeah, he earned that $20 million from the Republican Party.
Yep. Because he ain't making that money selling Swedish mattresses and herbal erection remedies.
Well, Bob, I'm not sure about that, because for the last few days he's been reveling in the fact that he has a sponsor that has come back to his network. It's some kind of a gadget that massages your back when you're sitting in a chair. So I'm sure there's $20 million worth of excess profit in a Japanese-made back massager that allows them to give that sort of money to a fat OxyContin addict in South Florida that hadn't been out of the house except to go find some small male friends in an island where the dollar buys a whole lot. What was his name in Pittsburgh? Rusty Johnson?
No, that's Jeff Christy.
I like Rusty Johnson. Okay.
Oh, subtlety. Thy name is David.
No, that's about as subtle as a thrown brick. Well, I've taken up.
Oh, you know, but this evening I hope we do a lot of laughing. We got some laughter coming because we have brutal hard work ahead of us, David.
Has Macaca Allen fallen over yet? Has he had to step up and say?
No, I'm waiting for the web people and Democrats in general to start giving him the treatment that the Republicans gave Al Gore. We need to stand outside his office and scream leave.
Exactly. I got to hear Mr. Webb. You know, he's not credited as being very articulate or not an emotional speaker, and he did this thing last night where he says, well, you know what, this, that, and the other thing, and most of the votes are in, and oh, by the way, we won. I don't know if you've heard that clip or not.
Yeah.
Utterly fabulous, and it appears to be holding up, because all of the slow count stuff is in a district that ought to vote for him like 5-1.
Well, see, the one trick that Macaca is waiting on, he thinks that he's got a bunch of absentee military ballots that are going to change everything.
Well, Virginia's a big military state, but I don't see. I mean, what, Webb's at 8,000 and counting now? I don't think he's gonna. I don't think that. Boy.
Well, I mean, Petty Officer Second Class Lopez going to cast an absentee ballot for Macaca Allen?
I'm kind of doubting it. I'm kind of thinking, you know, that the inference was, don't call me a Jew. I don't want to talk about that. There's Macaca. There's, you know, hey, let's go hang this deer head on some minority's mailbox. You know, his high school picture's got that, you know, portion of the Confederate battle flag on his lapel. I mean, it's kind of stacking up.
Well, I wish the studio was a little bit better than what it is, because I'd like to redo that song, and I'd like for it to go, na-na-na-na, na-na-na-na, ma-ka-ka, goodbye. And they could just stand outside the office and blare that at him 24 hours a day. And you know what? There would be an added bonus to that, David, because we would find out if persistent playing of extremely loud, obnoxious music constitutes torture in the mind of Ma-ka-ka Allen.
Oh, no, it's just a darn frat trick. Gee willikers. Strap his ass to a board, put it in a rain barrel. I'd like that a lot better.
You're gonna get me visited by the guy in the dark suit with the skinny tie and the glasses and the thing in the ear.
Chesapeake tie chart. Oh, I just can't wait for Mr. Allen to have to stand up there and say, Mr. Webb, a man that is eminently more qualified, was the Navy Secretary, has absolutely sent me home. When 6 months ago, that guy was reveling in the fact that he thought he was no lower than third on the short list for Republican presidential nominee.
That still gives me the heebie-jeebies.
Bottom of the hour, but I tell you what, there's a Tennessean that's come along that I'm behind the curve on knowing this, but I want all the listeners to keep an eye out for Mr. Steve Cohen. He got elected in Memphis. He is a fourth generation Memphian. He is absolutely a treasure. He is a maverick Democratic politician that was defeated by Harold Ford Jr. for the House of Representatives a few years back, and he took his loss and said, you know what, it's really tough to beat a Ford in Shelby County. And he has now been elected in Shelby County. And there is not a more iconoclastic, steer-your-own-boat kind of guy on the planet than that man. So I encourage everybody to keep an eye out. I put in an email to you today. By the 4th of July, the rest of the nation's going to know who Steve Cohen is.
Well, we'll have to try to get him on the show.
Oh!
I mean, it sounds to me like you're defining him as what we hope will be a darn good progressive.
Well, I put something in an email to you today that, you know, would have required extra work. You're busy anyway. But let me go to an absolute, wonderfully trenchant piece of trivia for a man like you. Warren Zevon's album, The Wind, has a special thanks to Steve Cohen. Travels in many circles, Bob.
No kidding. Same guy?
Same guy.
Oh, I'm liking this better and better.
Well,
anybody who earned the respect of Warren Zevon has to have something on the ball.
No, it's not even a grip and grin after a show. It's special thanks to Steve Cohen. And Steve's just as likely to show up at a Steve Earle gig as anybody else.
Well, any friend of Steve Earle's is a friend of mine.
Well, I'm sure you would care about it if Warren Zevon had put special thanks to you in the literature, in the little words of an album. Well, it's the bottom of the hour. I've beaten up the break. I've got to get out of here.
All right. Take it easy, David. Thank you so much.
Enjoy the election, America. We got work to do, but it's going to be fun to get it done.
Yeah, we'll have a giggle while we're rolling up our sleeves.
You betcha.
All right. Take care. Our good friend David in Tennessee. Steve Cohen, new member of the House of Representatives, replacing Harold Ford, who is probably, even as we speak, planning a run against never speaks in the Senate, old stodgy flannel shirt Lamar Alexander, right this very minute. And good for him if he does. I'd like something to happen for Harold Ford in the next couple of years, and one of the things that I'd like to have happen for Harold Ford is for him to realize that progressivism, liberalism, is the future. It is what can save America. I don't give a tinker's damn what Chris Matthews said last night. This election was a severe body blow to conservatism. We have conservatism down on the mat. Now, now it's time for us to put our knees in conservatism's kidneys and watch them start coughing up blood. I want to finish the job. I don't believe in letting up on retreating forces. Run them to ground. How do you do that? You do that by doing things like ending this damned war as soon as humanly possible and not starting the next one. Right? Right. I want to share something with you before we go to the phones. And we're going to have a hell of a good time tonight. You guys worked hard and you deserve to revel in it. So by all means, as long as we're here tonight, and I would imagine this probably, I can't speak for him, but I'm guessing this would extend into Bruce Birch's thinking as well. Light the phones up. But I want to share something with you. That is a manifestation of absolute class. There were a couple of places in the United States last night that went in sort of like one of those Martian moons that defies all the laws of everything and moves in retrograde motion. One of them was the state of Tennessee. I'm sorry to our listeners in Tennessee. I apologize, but I imagine you're probably just as sick about it as I am. But the other, please bear in mind, was the 2nd Congressional District of West Virginia. Where you know, and I've talked about her some, you've already heard it. Probably the nastiest member of the female gender in the Congress, short of Kay Bailey Hutchinson, was reelected for reasons known but to Satan, because God didn't have anything to do with this. My good friend Mike Callahan fell short last night. Because the help that he desperately needed was late in coming. Had he had the help he needed a month beforehand, things might have been entirely different. Had he had enough money to counteract all the filthy, 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 dirty, negative political advertising manifested by the daughter of Archmore, look him up, what a pig, then it could have been different. But nonetheless, Mike Callahan is pure class. And I want to share with you, because many of you helped out Mike Callahan, I want to share with you his thank you. He writes, thank you. First and foremost, I'd like to congratulate Congresswoman Capito on her reelection to the House of Representatives. Okay, I said he's got class. Maybe he's got too much. We both gave it our all, and this great democracy proves that it will continue. While the voters have decided, I continue to have faith in a better America. I still believe that we as a country can find a resolution to the Iraq War. I still believe that we as a country can solve health care so every man, woman, and child is covered. I still believe that we as a country can work toward a long-term solution for Social Security by keeping it within our government. I still believe that we as a country can protect our citizens from terrorism. I still believe that we as a country can end runaway deficits. I still believe that we as a country can protect workers' pensions and benefits. I still believe that we as a country can do better in education than No Child Left Behind. I still believe that we as a country can raise the minimum wage. I still believe that we as a country can end corruption in Congress. I still believe that we as a country can provide affordable prescription medication to seniors. I still believe that we as a country can achieve energy independence. I still believe that we as a country can mine coal safer and burn it cleaner. Me and Mike got to talk. I still believe that we as a country can support our veterans. I still believe that we as a country can curb illegal immigration. I still believe in better America. And he thanks everyone. He says, I cannot say enough thanks knowing how hard you work every day and that your earned money helped deliver our message. I can't tell you how many times $10 arrived in the mail with a note that said, I wish I could give more. Thank you, Mike Callahan. You ran a damn fine campaign. And the 2nd Congressional District of West Virginia went backwards when the rest of the nation went forward. I asked a lot of questions in the weeks leading up to the election. I said, what am I supposed to think of Tennessee if they send Bob Corker to the Senate on the backs of racist advertising? What am I supposed to think of Virginia if they send George Macaca Allen to the Senate knowing that he was all that they know about what a filthy, filthy example of a member of the human race he is. Well, I still have those questions about the people of the state of Tennessee, some of them. What would appear to be a majority of voters. And I have real questions about my fellow West Virginians living in the 2nd Congressional District. What kind of sick hold does dirty politics have on the voters of the 2nd Congressional District that they would allow, when the rest of the country's moving forward, they would stay mired in the filthy politics of the Republican Party and send Shelley Moore Capito back to Washington? Dear God. But those are blips on the radar. Overall, it is very, very, very good. And it is very positive. And we must remain focused on that. Let's go to the phones. We're joined by our good friend Susan from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan, welcome to the program.
Gloat, gloat, gloat.
Yeah, gloat, 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 gloat. Yep.
I couldn't resist.
Ah, you got a gloat coming.
Yeah, I'm only going to allow myself to gloat for a very short time. Especially since not only did we do well nationally, but the state of Oregon defeated a particularly nasty think law that the Fundies had put on the ballot that would have notified a parent of a...
it would have notified the incestuous father if the victim wanted to go and get an abortion of the incest baby.
You know, with no controls in place at all, you know, and that went down the tubes. And, you know, I'm sitting there hearing like mad. I would have loved to have heard the better part of your broadcast, but shortly after Bruce's show started, my internet service provider died. Massive outage for the entire state of Oregon.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I was down just like...
That's just terrible.
So I didn't get to hear, you know, I was stuck with the boob tube.
Well, you know, did you at least have MSNBC so you could see a little bit of Olbermann?
Yeah.
They finally let him on once it got nice and late.
Uh-huh, I noticed. I noticed he was holding himself from chortling back with great difficulty. And I think that's one of the reasons why... what's his face was getting away with talking down to him because Olbermann was too preoccupied with shrieking with laughter. The big thing that I would have given my eyepiece to do, though, would have been a fly on the wall in the White House.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You know that there was some screaming and carrying on.
And... you will never, ever, ever convince me that Rummy had been out a week ago. No.
Oh, no, no, no.
Uh-uh.
No, no. Nancy Pelosi told him to fire Rummy today, and he did.
It was either that or Rummy got in the way of the tantrum.
Well, see, I had a real paranoid flash as soon as I saw that Rummy was going, and I'm glad I was wrong. But, you know, my twisted little mind works in such amazing... I mean, I have been taught to think this way for the last 5 years, and I kind of hate it. But I saw that Rummy was stepping down, and I immediately flashed on the idea of Defense Secretary Joseph I. Lieberman.
Yeah.
Because what would have happened there, Susan? That would have created a vacancy in Connecticut, and if I'm not mistaken, that's still a Republican governor, who could have then, if I'm not also mistaken again, appointed a Republican to fill Lieberman's shoes, which would have then turned it into a 50-50 split, and hello, Vice President Cheney, welcome to the tiebreaker vote.
Yes. There is one, you're going to think I'm really, really nasty for thinking this. But has it ever occurred to you that with all of the potential, let's face it, the all of these Democrats are not all going to get in line all the time in the Senate.
Oh, no, no, no.
So the potential for stressful situations with tiebreakers and so on and so forth has just gone up drastically. Who knows? Maybe Cheney will drop dead.
Oh, are we? Is it against the? Is it against the law to? Is it against the law to hope that?
No more than it's against the law to pray for divine intervention.
Yeah, and after all, Pat Robertson, he was praying for John Paul Stevens to keel over dead years ago.
Yeah. So if you know, if it's against the law for that type of thing, well, homie, here I am. You come take me. But you know, the guy's got a weak kicker.
Hey, what's that in the microwave?
No. He could very easily just go, and if we turn around and impeach Bush, guess who is President of the United States?
Nancy Pelosi.
You bet your bippy.
And I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. But I'm still, you know, I don't know whether to take her at her word when she said, you know, we're not going to impeach him.
Well, I'm good. I don't know about impeach. All I know is I want the subpoenas. As far as I'm concerned, they better be printing them now.
Yo, I want a couple of laser printers absolutely burned up.
Yeah.
Spitting out subpoenas.
If they have problems with the printers, have them give me a call. I can tech them for them. I used to support printers. I know how to fix printers, especially lasers. But the thing is, I want those, you know, people are saying, well, you can't split the country in the middle of war. Who said anything about going after the war? You can go after the energy policy, the money that's missing, the Katrina, da-da-da-da-da-da, the corruption.
The signing statements.
Yeah, the signing statements, the whole nine yards. You can have Bush and company in front of congressional committees until the day they leave office. The major trick is, and this is going to be a big, big guess, we can keep them from bringing the whole House of Cards down before the new Congress comes in.
Well, that's the thing. We have to be especially vigilant now because the animal is in the corner. The animal is badly wounded, and the animal is rabid.
And it's a rat.
Yeah.
And nothing fights worse than a cornered rat.
You ever cornered a possum?
No.
Big rat.
Same genus.
Yeah. I mean, but no, I take your point very, 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 very seriously. These people are more dangerous now than they were before the election.
I don't know about, you know, but okay, the Democrats in Congress up until this time, they haven't had a spine at all. Now's the time to develop one.
And they're only going to get that from us, Susan.
Yeah. I'm going to be on the phone to my congressional committee. Congressional delegation tomorrow.
Well, what is it? 236 members.
Mm-hmm.
That's our majority now.
Well,
I feel like I've got 236 phone calls to make.
Yeah. I mean the ones that are already in office. Mine were real. My Democratic ones were reelected.
Yeah, well, Congressman Wu, for instance.
Yeah, and his office has already told me, hey, he's willing to support impeachment.
Yeah, and it's people like him. It's Jim McDermott up in Washington.
Yeah.
Dennis Kucinich. There's a handful there that can become a Congressman Conyers.
Senator Wyden.
We can become. I mean, they we can help them become the core that leads the charge. And frankly, you know, I'm not like a Republican, Susan. I'm not in love with power. I'm in love with this nation. I'm in love with the Constitution. I have too much reference to the hard work and the skull sweat and the blood and the tears and the sweat and the anguish and the agony that went into the creation of that Constitution and that went into seeing that it survived for 230 years. Or no, not the Constitution. That's just our independence.
Yeah.
To just blithely say, well, okay, you know, we can't have impeachment because we might lose power, and we love power more than we love America. By God, it's time to love this country.
Yeah, and if we go down, we'll go down, but we will take these people out and we'll take their mess that they made with them.
Yeah, we've got hard. We have incredibly hard work to do.
Yeah.
But a lot of that hard work.
Your bill. Oh God.
Yeah. And see, that's the little thing in the corner. That's the little shadow in the corner that needs to be paid attention to. We don't have, by any stretch of the imagination, a veto-proof majority, Susan.
The only way
that we get rid of that torture bill, the only way that we restore the Constitution, is by using the constitutional mechanism that exists for removing a corrupt criminal executive.
Exactly. And the thing that has, you know, you talked about having a paranoid mind. What I was thinking about last night when it became obvious that we had the House, the first thing I thought about was torture bill. He could have every one of those people disappeared.
Well, there's that. And the other thing that came to mind that scares because I don't know who's going to get hurt. I don't know who's going to get slaughtered in it. I figure it'll be the West Coast turn this time. It's about time for another terror attack, isn't it?
Yep.
So he can stand up and say, see, I told you what would happen if the Democrats took control.
I don't care if a so-called terrorist comes in and lets an atomic bomb off right in the middle of downtown Portland, which means they would turn me into radioactive gas. You do not hand this country over to Bush.
No. You do not. I'm glad you've got the fight in you, Susan. Like I keep saying, the work has not, it's barely even started. You have to take that fire and that fight that you've got, and you've got to infect others with it.
I have been saying all along, if you keep turning this thing into a police state, Osama wins. I said that on September 12th, 2001, and I have been saying it every day.
Well, look, you know what the proof of that is, Susan? Look at Pakistan. Pakistan was on its way to becoming a democracy under Benazir Bhutto.
Mm-hmm.
Pervez Musharraf put paid to that with a military coup. Pakistan is a police state, and if Pervez Musharraf, because he's so cozy with the Bush administration, should happen to get bumped off, why there's a pre-existing police state right there that the Taliban or Al Qaeda or whomever can move into that vacuum and have a ready-made dictatorship with the added bonus of nuclear weapons.
Yeah. Would we?
And we're worried about Kim Jong crazy in Korea.
Don't worry about him. He hasn't got the delivery system. Worry about Pakistan. Worry about India. We're giving these people nuclear weapons, for Christ's sake.
Yeah.
So we can have mangoes.
Mangoes for breakfast, mangoes for lunch, and mangoes for dinner, Susan. It's
and
a beautiful world.
Into the mushroom cloud.
But I feel like I'm being some sort of a wet blanket. I hope I'm not.
Well, I'm the same type.
I'm happy as hell that what happened.
Oh,
this had to happen.
I was doing a happy dance around the TV set last night.
Exactly. But I'm also a realist of the First Order, and I know that there are thugs, that there are dangerous, bloodthirsty, killer thugs occupying 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and that there are four or five enablers of those thugs inhabiting the Supreme Court building.
Yeah, and they can be impeached, too.
Yeah, they can. But
of a Supreme Court judge, and that's... Well, there's two ways. He can drop dead or you can impeach him.
Well, you know, the fact of the matter is Bush thinks he's going to get him a couple more Supreme Court judges. And don't you hesitate for a minute to know that the right wing has not given up. They're not. They might lick their wounds for a day or so, but they'll be out there screaming liberal activist judges.
Well, fine.
Before you can say Sammy Alito.
They'll be.
And I think there need to be some lines drawn in the sand, and one of them with a Senate majority is, George, you know, if somebody drops dead on the Supreme Court, they're going to have to get along with an eight-person makeup until January 20th, 2009, because you're done with the Supreme Court.
And as far as I'm concerned, the guy in Nicaragua is back. Does this mean they're going to start running cocaine again?
No, it means they're going to try to start the war again.
Yeah, okay, fine. You have to have Senate confirmation of the Secretary of Defense.
Yeah, oh yeah. He'll be confirmed during the lame duck session.
Well, let's see if we can't hold that out.
Well, and remember, I mean, if everything works out as we expected, Patrick Leahy from Vermont should be the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. That means that any judicial nominee by the Bush administration has to go through a majority, a Democratic majority. And honest to God, the fit I'm going to have if I see some right-wing thug get out of that committee.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, Nancy Pelosi can make nicey nice comments before they get into office. As far as I'm concerned, she's covering her rear so that people don't show up and make her disappear.
Yeah.
The minute she's sworn in, bring out Mrs. Venus.
And, yeah, don't even try to hold John Conyers back.
Because,
see, you don't start out, I mean, and people need to, and I'm sure most people do understand this because, you know, we're a lot smarter than the other side. You don't open up impeachment proceedings.
No, you open up investigations.
You open up an investigation of Halliburton. You open up an investigation of Cheney's Secret Energy Task Force. You open up an investigation of Katrina.
That would be one of the first things I would love to do, is where all that money is going to. Supposedly went to Katrina. Well,
yeah.
Certainly isn't getting there.
Well, and you know, the Secret Energy Task Force. There's a possibility here that just is stirring to think about. If they issue a subpoena to Cheney and Cheney refuses to answer it,
that's an impeachable offense.
That is an impeachable offense.
Oh, I love it! I love it! I love it!
And he goes first, and then we don't have to have the twofer. Cheney goes first, and then we do Bush.
Mm-hmm. Isn't that a nice thought?
It's a beautiful thought. And the thing is, you know, they can say all day long, oh, no, there won't be any impeachment proceedings. Heck no, shucks no. We got too much work to do. We can't have any. I mean, that'll take up all of our time, and we won't get any work done. Well, you know what? We just put that Democratic majority in there. You know what I want out of them for 2 years, Susan?
Whole lot of investigation.
I want as much work out of that Democratic majority on a daily basis as Agnes and I put into this radio network every day. That's all I ask. I want them to work as hard as we work.
You got it.
Now, they're getting a hell of a lot of money for what they do.
And you're,
they can work hard.
You're getting zip, and it's about time they earned their living.
That's right.
Yep.
That's the way I figure.
And I'm not trying. You know, I'm not complaining about what goes on here. I just want somebody to work as hard as we do.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go on to your other callers.
Yeah, we got to have a news break. Susan, thank you so much for this conversation. Thank you for all the doors you open. Thank you for everything that you do. Thank you for everything that you've done in this election cycle. The people deserve to be cherished for what we have done in trying to restore this republic, and you are part of that group.
So are you, and thank you, and Agnes, and we got more work to do. We'll get to it tomorrow.
That's right. That's right. Susan, thank you, and have a wonderful evening.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. I'm deadly in earnest about this. I don't know. I'm not going to become a Republican, and I'm not going to go join the little green circle jerk in the corner. But I will let House and Senate Democrats know that we're not like Republicans. We don't just put them in there and follow the marching orders. We've got things that have to be done, and we expect to see them done. And I've got a list. And no, you don't. And please, no, we're not going to open impeachment proceedings. We're just going to investigate. We're going to do some governmental congressional oversight. Because that's how you turn over the dead kitty in the ash heap. And once you find it, you see where it came from. And when you find out where it came from, then you initiate proceedings. I mean, does that jibe with where you're coming from? Does that jibe with your thinking? I mean, I've seen Nancy Pelosi's first 100 hours, and most of it is admirable. All of it's admirable. But there is a war to end, and there's another war to prevent. And sometime during this lame duck session of Congress, I expect the money that we've been shipping to Nicaragua to get cut off. Because, well, you know, that's the typical Republican way, is to cut off money to people who are, that is helping people who are dirt poor. Screwing poor people as a way of extending power. That's just another day in Repigla world. I don't like these people. I don't feel charity toward them. I don't want to reach out across the aisle to them. As long as I know that people like Chris Matthews are out there saying, oh, this was a triumph of conservatism. I don't care how whacked out of his mind was on what particular substance he was when he said it. As long as they're still saying that crap, that means that we are still in danger from the Republican Party. And we must still move forward to destroy that danger. For me, there's not a dime's worth of difference between a Republican and a member of Al-Qaeda, okay? I said it there. This is Head On. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Association Group Insurance Plans are underwritten by Midwest National Life Insurance Company of Tennessee.
This is the Quality News Network. President Bush announced today that Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld is resigning after they met and agreed that a new perspective on the Iraq War is needed. Mr. Bush has tapped Robert Gates, the former CIA director under George Bush Sr., as Rumsfeld's replacement. However, the Senate must still confirm that nomination. Just last week, Mr. Bush said Rumsfeld would stay at the Pentagon through the end of his term. In January, the Democrats will take control of the House of Representatives for the first time in 12 years. That follows results of yesterday's midterm elections, during which the party picked up 33 seats. Mr. Bush is expected to meet with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi tomorrow. The San Francisco Democrat is almost certain to become the new House Speaker, the first female to hold that position in U.S. history. Current House Speaker Dennis Hastert says he does not intend to run for Minority Leader in January. In the Senate, the Democrats now have 50 seats. In the close Montana race, Democrat John Tester is expected to beat the incumbent, Republican Conrad Burns. However, Burns has not conceded yet. In Virginia, Democratic challenger Jim Webb holds about a 7,000-vote lead against Republican incumbent George Allen. That's according to the New York Times, which reports that Webb is already planning his transition into the Senate. But Allen supporters have indicated they would challenge the vote count. If Webb does win, that would give Democrats control of the Senate. In non-election news, at least 18 Palestinians were killed in Israeli strikes on a residential neighborhood in Gaza today. The Israeli Defense Minister said the attacks were ordered as a way to halt artillery strikes in Gaza. Palestinian Prime Minister Ismail Haniyeh has since suspended talks on forming a unity government. In Iraq today, Parliament voted to extend the country's state of emergency for 30 more days. More than 60 Iraqis were either killed or found dead today. Also, the U.S. military reported the deaths of a U.S. soldier and a Marine, raising the death toll so far this month to at least 21. In Kentucky today, a former U.S. soldier pleaded not guilty to rape and murder charges of a 14-year-old Iraqi girl and the deaths of three of her family members in March. If convicted, the soldier could be sentenced to death. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are next. It's 2.5 minutes past the hour.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv. The BBC reports that British scientists have been able to restore vision in mice by transplanting retinal stem cells. Scientists say humans may benefit in the same way. The Federal Reserve reports that consumer borrowing was down in September by the largest amount since April of 1992. Part of the reason is a big drop in the number of auto loans. Japan has banned shipments from one U.S. meatpacking plant, Swift & Company's plant, in Colorado, that follows the arrival of a shipment that reportedly lacked proper documentation. A billionaire California businessman and a Los Angeles supermarket magnate have submitted a bid to buy the Tribune Company, which owns the Los Angeles Times. A Japanese technology group and News Corp will establish a 50-50 joint venture for MySpace in Japan. The service, which has more than 125 million users worldwide, is expected to start next year. The parent company of Airbus is reporting a $250 million third quarter loss that's reportedly largely due to continuing delays in the production of the Airbus Super Jumbo A380 jet. Light sweet crude oil is trading at $59.94. At the close of Wall Street today, the Dow is up 20 points at 12,177. NASDAQ up 9 points. S&P 500 up 3 points. You can hear more at qualitynewsnetwork.com.
Insurance plan?
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
All righty then. 5.5 minutes after the hour. I fear I'm becoming a bummer. I don't mean to be. But I don't think it is too much at all to ask of people who make $150,000 a year. I don't think it's too much at all to, who have exquisite health care, who have a pension to die for. I don't think it's too much at all to ask them to work as hard as a minimum wage family works that carries two jobs per parent to save America. Do you? Are you with me on that? Can we demand that the Democrats we sent to Congress work as hard as the rest of America does? Let's do that. We work that hard. You work that hard. By God, they better work that hard, or we'll find someone who will. Let's go to the phones. Albert joins us from Wisconsin. Albert, welcome to the program. Thanks for calling, man.
Yeah, good evening, Bob. Great day, huh?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it is. And I have to agree with you. You're not being a wet... Well, you kind of are being a wet blanket, but that's a good thing because, you know, we have to stay realistic. You know, we can't get all googly-eyed and think, you know, oh, we've done it, we've won, and then sit back and, you know, watch the results happen on
TV. America is saved. We're saved.
It's only just begun.
Yeah, well, exactly. And, you know, I'm a Civil War history buff. And I know we're talking about the wrong side and everything, but there were a couple of times when the boys in Butternut had the boys in Blue on a dead run,
mm-hmm.
and instead of running them to ground and stomping them to death and ending it,
they stopped.
I said, yep. Oh, Jesus Christ, there's a whole train load of cheese. And they stopped and they ate cheese. Look, we got cheese. You know, and then, that, you know, that, look, we got power. No, right now, part of the job, at least as far as I can see it, is utterly finishing and destroying the Republican Party as it is currently constituted. And that means destroying the idea of conservatism.
Yeah, we're going to have, I mean, we're going to have to. We're going to even have to shear some of our own in this aspect. Because, I mean, you know, like, liberal people are, we're the ones that did all the work to get this, to get all this stuff going. We're the ones that fomented the outrage.
Yeah, the moderates didn't do this, Albert.
No, we.
The centrists didn't do this.
No, exactly.
Sorry, not yelling at you. You know that. But the people who didn't want to upset George are not responsible for this tremendous victory.
And it is. It really is. It blew everyone's wildest predictions out of the water. And, I mean, yeah, and we do definitely. I mean, Bush was a crying little baby today. My God.
He must have had a rough, rough night, Albert. Did you see how much pancake they had on his face at that news conference?
Oh, I could smell the scotch on him from my seat in front of my computer. Yeah, he was pretty raw. I'll tell you that, you know, I mean, and that's the thing, you know, he fires Rumsfeld today, and then now he's putting who in there? Somebody who's, you know, dedicated to peace, or no, someone who's...
No, this, yeah, a CIA spook.
Yeah, exactly, black ops, and, you know, cloak and dagger kind of, you know, stick them in the back when they're, you know, and turn to you. Just nasty, nasty, nasty people. I mean, when do we really start to see the result? I mean, I don't understand this as well. I mean, 7,000 votes. Who does Allen think he's kidding?
Honest to God, he thinks that Seaman Second Class Gutierrez made sure that he got his absentee ballot in for George Macaca Allen. You know, he thinks that a flight deck technician who happens to be African American couldn't wait to get his absentee ballot for Macaca Allen in, because the Republicans have created this this false notion that everybody in the military is a Republican.
And that's it. I was in the military. Actually, I'll tell you what. The more and more I really go about life, I see that more and more people that served in the military are actually liberals. And I'm a liberal. Some of my shipmates, they were liberals. I mean, and liberaler than I ever thought I would be. They actually sort of kind of helped me form and become who I am today, and sort of the military. I mean, we look at, you know, places like, I was looking at the demographics breakdown of the counties. I mean, Newport News, Alexandria. I mean, Webb is smashing Allen 2-1. I mean, at least 2-1. I mean, he's got 50,000 votes to Allen's 26,000 votes. And, I mean, those are the military centers. They're blue.
Yeah, that's Hampton Roads and Portsmouth and Norfolk. And, yeah.
Yeah, he's done. I mean, he is not going to get anything out of that. I mean, if he's lost those counties. So it's like, I wish he'd just kind of fess up and get that all over with. And now we have Bernie Sanders, who's our nice little insulator. And, you know, we definitely got to get the investigations going. And
yeah.
We have to get the investigations going, like I said last night, about 9/11 and what happened with Ground Zero in the air. That has to be the first one we have to get done.
What happened to the working people?
Exactly. All these people that have pounds of cement in their lungs. They've got mastitis from asbestos. I mean, they have all these tumors, and they're dying. You know, 40,000 people are sick. And that stuff needs to get, you know, right. You know, and that's also under Bush's watch.
Yeah, and that's not conspiracy theory either. That's something Democrats, that's an investigation Democrats can launch without any fear of being accused of engaging in conspiracy theory. These are real, live, honest-to-God, verifiable sick people. And, you want another invest? I mean, let's work on the list, Albert. How about an investigation of the effects on returning American soldiers of depleted uranium?
I'm down with that. I've been down with that since before we sent our boys there. And, yeah, I mean, what depleted uranium, and for anyone that, you know, maybe doesn't, you know, maybe thinks it's benign material.
What's the half-life?
4.5 billion.
Yeah.
4.5 billion years.
Hard to be benign and have a 4.5 billion year half-life.
Yeah.
That means it's, if I recall my chemistry and my science correctly, that means its radioactivity is halfway degraded in 4.5 billion years, right?
Yep.
That means...
Another half is lead.
Yeah. So in 9 billion years, in other words, depleted uranium won't be safe until the sun burns out.
It's, I guess. It depends on how you, which way you look at the sun. But, yeah, in either way you look at it, human civilization will probably be long gone by then. And, I mean...
Fortunately for the cockroaches, it doesn't bother them.
No, they eat that stuff up. I mean, but, you know, I mean, yeah, we have depleted uranium. I mean, this whole war needs investigation. We got, I mean, with between the dodgy dossier and all the fixed facts and all the nonsense with that, and then they issue this war, which we know that, you know, is going to have to get investigated. I don't want to hear this, oh, we're not going to. No, we are going to. And if you don't, I'm voting Republican. No, I'm just kidding. But still, I mean, if you don't do it, we're going to have to get rid of it because I will not. I got Feinstein, I got Kind, and I will badger them until that's what this is, the badger state over here in Wisconsin, so I'm going to badger them to death.
Yeah, there's a vulgar little phrase that appears on UW T-shirts. Bucky.
Yeah.
Yeah, because Bucky's a badger, and yeah, do that to him, Bucky.
Oh, no doubt. This can't stand. We have to get forward. We have to definitely move. You know, Pelosi, all this stuff. I can't see Pelosi being limp on this issue. I mean, I have many friends in San Francisco, and I can't. I mean, that's San Francisco. I mean, there is a little bit of a truth when they say San Francisco politics, because they're kind of, you know, I guess compared to Tennessee, they're pretty radical. You know, but I can't see them just sitting there saying, well, you know, we have to make friends and we have to be nice. And no, it's time to castrate him. He's already got Rumsfeld gone. Cheney's next. We got to get rid of him. And once that happens, I mean.
Beep, beep,
yeah.
Beep,
beep.
Bye, Dick.
You know, I mean, yeah, get rid of all of these. Get rid of all of them. Get these people. I want to see real good Republicans that you can actually have civil discourse with, not the Rush Limbaugh fantasy troglodytes that can sit there and chomp on, you know.
Well, let me ask you a question, Albert. Now, according to this first 100 hours plan, and, you know, bear in mind, this don't happen until January.
Yeah.
We got a long wait. There's a tremendous window for getting screwed by Republicans between now and then. But when the first conservative member of the House says, you know, I think we need to increase the minimum wage, because that'll be the accent that it's done in. We need to increase the minimum wage, but we need to increase it slowly to $7 an hour over the next 3 years. What do we do then?
We scream our heads off. We can't let them preempt us. We can't let them continue to take the best ideas, the best things that this country has, and, you know, claim it for themselves. I mean, we can't let this happen. That's what we have to do. We have to make them, I mean, let the, you know, there's nothing for the Democrats to hold on to anymore. I mean, you know, a lot of them did vote for that torture bill. And I think one of the reasons they did is so in the incoming election, when that happened, that the Republicans were going to say, see, they vote against the troops, they vote against Americans, you know, all that. Even though that stuff would have been amplified had they voted against that. And I hope that when they get in there, they rectify that big mistake of allowing torture. However,
ain't gonna happen, dude.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm not arguing with you. And I'm not trying to. Boy, I am a wet blanket tonight. I'm trying to be happy, but I mean, it's you know, we just got control of the Titanic with the ship bearing down on the iceberg, dude.
Yeah, to port. Turn to port.
Hard of port. All in. What is it? All engines full reverse. But not, in all truth, I mean, look, procedurally speaking, the torture bill, to fix it, it would require George Bush's signature, and all he has to do is veto it and tell the Congress to eat it, because we have not created a veto-proof majority yet. That's what I want.
Yeah, well, that's what I want, too, and I think one of the way to do that is to show, you know, like, you got to think, like, what these Republicans, you know, what gets them on and what gets them hot is toughness. Perceived toughness. That's why they like Rambo and Chuck Norris and Ted Nugent and all them guys, because they talk to, you know, they talk the talk. But I think if the Democrats actually show that, you know, hey, you know, we've got iron pecs over here, you know, you're not doing this, doom to doom to doom, and we show a toughness, I think that'll gain more respect for us. I mean, I think that, like, the political correctness movement of the 90s and 80s, I mean, that killed a lot of people, you know, and my friends, I mean, you would look at my friends, they got tattoos, they got the big disc tribal piercings in their ears, and they'll try to, and they'll tell you to your face that they're Republican. And yeah, I mean, I don't even know how I don't know how they're my friends, but you know, it's just because everything else other than that, they still buy into the, you know, the ego macho, you know, don't let down, don't back down from stuff, and that kind of stuff like that, you know, is crucial to understand the psychology of how to, you know, actually get these voters to vote for people that they know aren't going to just sit there and, you know, like, that's why these phrases work, like cut and run, flip-flop, you know, all that stuff. We have to show that to be absolutely wrong. We have to show that to be the dead Democrats, and we have to cut that weight that's on our, around our necks. We have to cut that off. Now, I ain't trying to say, you know, we have to be, you know, as equal, you know, as the Republicans, but what's wrong with being, you know, what's wrong with being strong? What's wrong with sitting there? I mean, being, you know, soft on the issues that have to be soft, like education and health care and those sorts of issues. But at the same time, we got to be strong when it comes to corruption and war.
Yeah.
And, I mean, and lying. And I mean, corrupt.
Well, see, I think you can be strong by, among other things, taking the money that we're sending, we're spending on, say, the F-22 Joint Task Force Roger Ramjet Billy Space Cadet fighter, and you know, maybe the cost of one of those planes, putting it into pay raises for the grunts.
Yeah, no, that would help. I mean, it would also help to get the grunts out of harm's way.
Yeah,
and I know you hate that phrase, but that's where they are.
No, I don't hate that phrase, not at all. I believe that wasting troops on stupid wars, it doesn't make us stronger. And we've got to learn to narrow that message. We've got to learn to deliver that message. Wasting troops on stupid wars makes us more insecure. I believe in a very strong American military that sits right here and trains its little ass off so it can defend us if we are ever attacked.
I agree.
You know, I have great regard for the military.
I do too, and at the same time, I also have a loathing of them because of how they're used.
Right.
The word. And yeah, I mean, I have friends that are that way, and then at the same time, I mean, these people, they don't know any better. When I was in the military, I didn't know any better, and the only reason I got an image of what I was being used for is because of where I was sitting when I was in the military. So I got to see, you know, some of the plannings of, you know, these people that they don't understand. They just get an order to go somewhere, but yet I'm the one that can, you know, I can watch TV, watch an order being sent, and then see the outcome 30 days later when the carrier group gets there. So I mean, I had a different perspective on it. But the majority of the military, they just kind of, you know, they do follow orders, and then really most of the people that are there are there for college. You know, they're there for college. They're there for education and to improve their lives.
They're there because it was the best way out of the barrio or off of out of the holler.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. Now with Child Left Behind, now that they separate students and they filter them out, and they get, okay, these are the ones that we're going to send into the military. I mean, you know, I, that's another thing. I think, you know, when Kerry did say that, you know, I mean, I'm going to be honest here. I mean, rocket scientists don't join the enlisted ranks. Okay. Now, I was an enlisted person, and even I had problems with people not being the sharpest stick in the shed. Okay. Now, that's an unfortunate thing, and that's something that happens. However, that doesn't mean we use these people to just, you know, further these types of things.
Right. Just, yeah. I remember, you know, way back when dinosaurs roamed the earth and I was a senior in high school, I took the AFSAB. We were, you know, this was Alabama. We were compelled to take the AFSAB. And I scored in the 98th percentile.
Yeah, I did too.
And they came to me and said, and you know, really, I was looking at the test and it was like, Jesus, you know, what's not to know? And they came, the recruiters were like, hello, 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 you can drive a submarine, you can work on jets. And I said, screw you.
Be a nuclear physicist.
No, if I'm going to do anything, I'm going to go to college and I'll be an officer. Thank you very much.
Yeah. I kind of was a stick of school and stuff like that, but that's another thing. They get, you know, they, same way the cigarette companies get you. They target your rebellion. You know, I mean, when you're 18 years old, you're invincible, and you think you know things, and that alone makes you stupid.
Yeah, I think my best friend in high school will retire, I think, maybe this year or next from the Air Force, as like a super duper high up sergeant.
Mm-hmm.
He went into the Air Force when I went to college, and apparently it's been a very good life for him. You know, he worked on F-15s or something.
I recommend everyone to join the Air Force. They eat better, they live better. I mean, and it is. I mean, 20 years, you get a retirement and stuff like that. But I mean, but at the same time, it's up to us, and it's up to veterans that have served that, you know, do that can add 2+2 and aren't knee-jerk, you know, red meat eaters, to sit there and make sure that we're not wasting these people's hopes and dreams, because that's what it is.
Well, and that's you're absolutely right, Albert, because among other things, one of the biggest reasons we're where we are is because we've got this little the chicken crap president who couldn't be bothered to show up for champagne unit drill. And he's never heard a shot fired in anger. You know, you got John McCain who murdered peasants from 40,000 feet.
Yep.
Rummy, who was a Korea era pilot. You know, these guys never heard a bullet whistle by their head.
No.
Granted, McCain got hit by a SAM or something.
Yeah. And then he did. I mean, we'll look at it like this with McCain. I don't give him any props for, you know, going through what he went through in Vietnam, just because, I mean, you know, in a sense, that'd be retribution. And you drop napalm on a village, you're roasting children and women and innocent people that, you know, maybe may or may not, I mean, you know, what have you, in terms of Viet Cong, you know, I mean, just say we didn't kill innocents of Vietnam is just, I can't believe. I mean, that's like saying, you know, we didn't kill any innocents in Iraq. However, I mean, you know, you can say that McCain paid his penance being tortured in that camp because of what the things he did. I mean, so then I guess in there you can call it even for him. But, you know,
he's,
I don't know what it's
he's
like.
The great white hope of the Republican Party right now, and he says we need more troops in Iraq.
Isn't he supposed to commit suicide?
You know, I got an email from our friend Kathy in the state of Washington, and she said, yeah, he did say he would commit suicide if the Democrats took the House and the Senate.
Even better day.
Yeah, get with it, John.
Yeah, come on, John.
Be a man.
Maverick.
Be a maverick. Be a man.
Be a man.
Straight talk.
Your promises. It just is. I mean, we definitely do. I mean, McCain was wetting himself. He is a bedwetter anyway. But he was definitely wetting himself. I saw an interview with him on today. And he was just, you know, oh, we definitely got spanked and we have to pay attention and reevaluate and blah, blah, blah. You know, and he wants to be president so bad. He's like Kerry, though. He wants to be president so bad. He'll stay and do anything to do it, like Biden and all those other ones that just, they really aren't cut out of that cloth. I mean, these people don't know what it's like to live paycheck to paycheck. They don't know what it's like to scrap and scrange and then, you know, like to have their washing machine break and, you know, like have their budget go way out of whack. You know, I mean, and that's influential. I mean, that shows what they do in terms of how they spend. You know, like, I mean,
yeah, John McCain's never been to a payday lender like so many enlisted troops have.
Yeah.
There was a report released on that just last week, Albert.
Yeah, and that's horrible. That stuff is, I never use that stuff, but that stuff's horrible.
That's worse than loan sharking. That's 426% interest.
Yeah, what about the ones with the title loans for your car? That's like 3,000.
Yeah, and, you know, they've never, you know, you talk about the busted washing machine. Well, you know, you live on that economic level. You go to rent to own.
Oh, forget it. Forget it.
And you pay $7 a week for the rest of your life. And you wind up paying $1,500 for a $200 washing machine that doesn't make it 2 years through into the contract.
Exactly. I mean, and I'll tell you, when you got kids and you got stuff like that, I mean, you know, I have a decent washing machine myself, but at my decent washing machine got, you know, I got a little cup of, you know, the coffee, the little stickers they put on the thing. I had that little thing go in there and went into the hose, and it was a perfect diameter to fit right into the hose, and it shut my entire machine down.
Beautiful.
Well, that I mean, if my machine doesn't work and I got to do laundry and I have a set budget, that's what I live on, and all of a sudden I have my budget and all the other payments don't go away. But I have to spend $80 every week or what have you, driving to the laundromat, getting all my clothes done, and doing this stuff. I mean, what does that do to your budget? And then by the time you sit around and your savings is depleted by, you know, a third, you know, I try to save, I try to do these things, try to be on a budget. And, you know, like these people in Washington, they're out of touch. And it's not Republican. They're out of touch with what it's like to have to live like this, because they make $150,000. They don't worry about health care. They don't worry about pensions or anything like that. And besides the fact that they all come, they shouldn't be paid. I mean, they're all worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Not all. I mean, there are some. But, I mean, they make too much as it is. They have enough as it is. They need all this money that we're going to sit there and pay these people $150,000. Like the Republicans, they need to pay us back because they didn't work very much at all.
Yeah, we got a refund coming.
I would. That's the kind of tax break refund check I'd like to see, is that, you know, they pay back some of that work they didn't do. Because I know if I didn't work that much, if I, you know, my job, I wouldn't have a job. Nobody works that little. I mean, they don't work for nothing. And then when they do work, what do? They don't do anything. They'll go over to a lobbyist. The lobbyist will tell them what to vote on. Rush Limbaugh will reinforce that. They'll go on, they'll have hot air blown up their rear and told how great they are and all these other concepts, and they don't even read the bills they pass. I mean, I think we need, that's another thing we should be able to do, is get some accountability. Now that we have some majority, let's get some laws in there to solidify accountability, that if you're going to take a vote on a bill, you must read it. Everyone must read it, period. If you're going to vote on this bill, like the Patriot Act, none of these bills like that, 10,000 pages passed.
Yeah, extrapolate something away from George Bush's signing statements. How about a signed voting statement for everybody who votes on a bill in Congress that says, I swear upon penalty of perjury that I have read every word of this bill before voting on it?
That's the kind of stuff I want to see. I mean, yeah, I want to see Bush. I want to see Cheney. I want to see all these people get what's coming to them. But I want to see real progressive reform on the problems that we have. I would like to also see some nice campaign finance, not the, you know, I mean, yeah, the Feingold.
Well, no, apparently, you know, within this first 100 hours, Albert, there are plans for real lobbying reform that says, and it goes a long way toward something that I've argued for in the past, that says that a lobbyist can't so much as buy you a cheeseburger at McDonald's.
Oh, yeah, I don't... they shouldn't even have to be able to give you a bite of it.
Yeah.
Out of their own. I mean, I almost don't want to see lobbyists because of the nonsense. I mean, maybe we should also make a certain, you know, statute where corporations can only have, I mean, in terms of certain wealth, can only have so many lobbyists. They shouldn't be able to have this mass movement in turn, and I know it's, you know, it sounds,
well, I'm, you know, we're operating in a realm of what may be deemed by others to be somewhat fantastic, and I mean that in terms of being rooted in fantasy, if you give me my druthers, I mean, I'm up for doing everything possible to create an honest government, and that includes imposing the death penalty for accepting a bribe.
I think you know what, I'm not for the death penalty.
I'm not either.
Against this for the Wisconsin, but for that kind of stuff, for these white collar criminals, do far more damage on the whole.
If we are willing to horizontally crucify a guy who kills somebody in a drive-by that's related to gang warfare or the drug trade, if we're willing to horizontally crucify somebody for doing that, we ought to be willing to horizontally crucify a member of Congress for taking bribes and trying to bring down the government.
That, indeed, or leading us to this war, killing 655,000 people that have nothing to do with anything. I mean, killing 3,000 troops. We've already lost, 21. It's 8 days into the month, we've lost 21 men. We lost 115 last month. And we're on a roll. We're on a roll for another.
No, we've turned a corner.
Yeah, we're staying the course, all right. You know, that's another thing I'd like to see. I'd like to see an investigation into the real casualty numbers of this war. Because we have had, 30,000 injured? Like, seriously injured people, not, you know, splinters in their finger.
Fully half of the people who have returned from Iraq, Albert, have filed some level of disability claim.
Yeah, and we have more men there now. And that's another thing that people haven't been... We have more men there now than we did in the beginning. There's about 350,000 men there.
And one of the things that was pointed out a couple of days before the election, and I'm waiting to see it come true because I have every faith that it will, It showed up at a number of websites, including Huffington Post and Buzzflash. Brent Budowski has asserted that he has received information that there will be a call-up, an involuntary call-up of Guard and Reserve between now and Christmas.
Jeez. Yeah. Well, that doesn't surprise me, and it's not going to surprise me either when, you know, the saber-rattling that Iran was doing with their missiles, those anti-ship missiles I was telling you about a while ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they did a demonstration on them, and it blew the minds of the State Department and all these other Israeli defense officials. They had no idea Iran was that advanced, and I was telling you about that.
Yeah, who we? They work. Yeah, they do.
Oh, they work, and they're bad. I mean, they're vicious. So, and there's nothing we can do about them. There's nothing. And so, like, if they don't heed those warnings, there's no way that we will not have a draft. There's no way we won't, because we're going to need it. And, you know, whatever, Rumsfeld gone, so all the things he said bad about people in the draft is completely irrelevant, and doesn't surprise me that they're going to call up. I mean, I have friends that are Marines, and I have friends in the Army, and, you know, these guys, they don't want to go back. You know, they're the Republicans, you know, but they don't want to go back. And I laugh at them, and, you know, and I say, well, you keep voting for Republicans, where do you think you're going to go? You think this war is like, well, we're fighting, you know, and then you hear all the same talking points. I mean, I had an argument with them for 3 hours straight, and they still couldn't tell me a valid reason why we were there. So regardless of that, these people need to wake up. We need to see, I mean, we can't keep going down this route of war for nothing. And these wars are going to, I mean, we've got children to protect, and you sitting there killing other people's children. It's common. I think it's common sense. Maybe I'm crazy. Maybe I just.
No, I don't think you are. Albert, it's so good to talk to you. This is a great conversation.
It is a great conversation. One more thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Look at Jean Schmidt. She still hasn't won her. It's not solidified yet. Isn't that great?
Oh, I really want that woman to lose.
Oh, okay. Great talking to you, Bob.
All right. Later.
All right.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
If anybody deserves to lose, the woman who called John Murtha a coward on the floor of the Congress deserves to lose. Let's go talk to Ed. Hey, Ed, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Good conversation again.
Thank you.
I wanted to express some disappointment in Nancy Pelosi. When she talking about reaching across the aisle, we've got to work with them. That was her statement. We've got to work with them.
Uh-huh.
No, you talking, and you know, Bush used to talk about he was going to spend the capital.
Yeah.
We got the capital. Has she been under the thumb so long that she's forgetting who is going to be in control? Or is she just using that as some political rhetoric about not investigating and letting bygones be bygones? I mean, I'm paraphrasing that some, but that's what I got out of some of her conversations today. And I think I feel like you do. You know, you got them on a run, and when you got them on a run, you got their hind end pointed toward you, kick it. Don't let it go. Don't let them up.
Yeah, and exactly. If they and if they fall down, start stomping.
Yeah. Well, I think we've done the stomping for them by our vote. Now it's up to them to do the rest. And I really had a little bit higher of opinion of her until today. But I am going to call her office and let them know. But, you know, I guess the diplomacy shuffle is in effect when she goes to eat with George Bush, but she wants to remember the tale of the Little Red Riding Hood. So don't get in there and soak up all the suds that he's going to push out.
My dear leader, what sharp teeth you have.
Yeah, then that's the part that shouldn't be forgotten. So I just hope, you know, I don't know if you feel as strong as I do about it, but it sounds like it. And I really admire, what's the other one's name, Boxer?
Yeah, Barbara Boxer,
yeah,
Senator.
I really like both of these gals. But today was the thing she said was a letdown to me. And I am going to make a call there and let them know that, you know, we won. why are you talking reaching across the aisle? They sure.
Well, and you know the other thing that's worth bearing in mind, Ed, is we have an elected member of Congress ourselves, and that's Nick Joe Rahal, and Nick Joe Rahal's a good and decent human being, and what he needs now is our support. He needs us to have his back to adopt an aggressive, progressive agenda.
Yeah.
And so we need to let him know that it's okay to start going after these SOBs.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how that works, and probably you could tell me, but if Nancy Pelosi won't do it, then can one of the other members of Congress bring it up?
Well, see, what she can't necessarily stop the investigations that any individual committee chooses to launch. So I have no doubt that Henry Waxman will launch an investigation. I have no doubt that John Conyers will launch an investigation. Charlie Rangel, maybe even Nick Rahal, Dennis Kucinich. I have faith that there's going to be a lot of investigations launched. The rubber's going to hit the road when the findings are released and it's time to do something about it. And I'm hoping against hope that there have been some strategy sessions where she's going to say, well, you know, I'm going to tell them we're not going to do anything, but then when you present us with overwhelming evidence, then in order to fulfill our obligation to the Constitution, we'll just have to.
Yeah. Well, I'm not tuned into the game plan, but I know I should be.
I'm guessing at the game plan, Ed. That's all I'm doing.
Yeah. Well, we shouldn't have to guess. We should know, and they should know why we put them in there. And it was to get rid of the trash that is in there. And I noticed today when Bush was answering questions, he was so mad he could eat nails. Did you see him answering those reporters?
Oh, yeah. He was, yeah.
I mean, he was cutting them off. Of course, that's typical of a Republican, especially when he's got a microphone in front of him. But I could tell that he was really disgusted just in having to be out in front like that and do that. And
he doesn't like it any time, Ed, that he has to answer questions from anybody because he doesn't think. Remember, he says he's the decider. He doesn't like it when he has to answer or be held accountable to anyone. And what we're going to what I'm hoping Nancy Pelosi will do, Ed, is deliver a very short, brief, simple message to George Bush tomorrow. And the message is this, and he ought to recognize it because he said it first. You're either with us or you're against us.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know what to think about her after making those statements. This could have been an old happy day for me all the way. Because I think Virginia is going to finally come around, because I think you're right in what you said. When you get into those areas down around Hampton and Norfolk and these places like that, I think the vote is going to pick up even more if they haven't already finished counting, which I don't think they have. I don't think they've counted all the precincts, have they?
It's pretty much over at this point.
Is it? Okay.
Well, I mean, what'll happen there? The canvassing is what starts next, where they make sure that the counts are straight and the counts are square.
I think the only way a person could overcome that kind of count would be counting myself.
one for you and two for me. One for you and three for me.
Right. Well, Bob,
we know what it looks like when a guy's cheating on his scorecard on the golf course, don't we, Ed? That's what you're talking about.
Unless you got eraser on the pencil.
Yeah, there's a reason they don't put erasers on those pencils, isn't there?
Yeah, but I appreciate the aggressive position that you take. And you're nowhere near by yourself on that. That's what we put them in there for. And it's like these Republicans that gets on the other station and runs their mouth about pork.
Yeah.
Hell, I like hog. That's the reason I voted for Byrd and any of the other ones. We expect them to bring stuff back to this state.
Well, and, you know, it's not like we don't pay taxes here.
Yeah. Well, there just seems to be confusion even among the people that's won, some of them. But maybe they'll get their act completely together. But I hope she remembers that. I hope she don't make dinner for George Bush.
Yeah, I share your sentiments, Ed.
So I hope she will stand up, because, and you know, she tried to deny calling him a liar. She's called him about everything.
And it's not what she called him; it's what he earned.
Yeah, that's what he is. But the answer should have been anything I called him would be appropriate. But she starts in, I didn't call him no liar. I heard that.
She probably said he lied, or she said he didn't tell the truth when. She probably didn't come. I don't know. Maybe she did.
What it amounted to was she called, you know, it was he was a liar. You and I pretty straight spoken on something like that, but she
that's what I call somebody who tells lies.
Anybody tells a lie is a liar, and he's done plenty of it. But don't start backing up, you know, say, well, if I didn't, I missed a good chance and I can do it now. You know, I just don't like that meekies type attitude, and maybe they got a game plan that's way above my head. But I only know what I see.
Well, I know that he is a sexist. I know that his regard, you know, his idea of a woman's place is either in the kitchen or the bedroom, and it is going to hang in his throat like a chicken bone tomorrow to have to look her in the eye as an equal.
Well, you know what? She should hold her position as better than he is. He's out of capital. She's not.
No, she just got charged up with a bunch of capital.
Yeah, so don't look at the floor and talk to me. That would be my attitude that she ought to carry in there, like she owned the White House. But anyway, that's my little spiel.
Well, I appreciate it, Ed.
And Bob, keep that aggressive. Keep these Democrats that you talk to fired up, because you're doing it. We need it. We need to keep a ball rolling.
Well, it just seems like common sense to me, Ed. Well, I mean, if you've got power, use it. If you've got momentum, take it.
That's exactly. But I will call you again, talk to you a little later.
All right. You take care, Ed.
Thank you.
Good hearing from you.
All right. Thank you.
Common sense from our good friend Ed in Fayette County, right here at the same place that I am. Let's see, to the phones, Gene is online. Hey, Gene, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
What's up?
Well, not much. I'm glad you're being very sober about this, because really I am too. I'm kind of happy, but I don't trust these buggers any further than I could throw them.
No.
And it irritates me so to see, you know, trying to extend that hand of friendship. It's like, no, I heard on Guy show earlier today that most of them right winger wants to have Santorum, now that he's no longer in the Senate, be on the Supreme Court.
Oh no.
Yep.
Oh, you know, I could have gone for days on end, Gene, without hearing that.
I'm sorry, but when I heard that, I was like, oh my.
So he would go from Rick Mann on Dog Santorum to Rick Mann on Court Santorum?
Something like that, yeah. This is what the guy suggested. It's like, oh. And they never back down.
No, they won't, and they won't back down from the minority. They will be up and in our faces, and they will call us everything under the sun, and they will continue to do it until we rear back with a balled-up fist and mash their noses and bloody them up real good and say, sit down and shut up.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. There's one thing I want out of this new thing, and that's I want them to go after either enact the antitrust laws or something to break up the media monopoly so that we can get our message out better.
Well, you know, I've heard some people say that they wanted a return to the fairness doctrine, and I gotta tell, that's an FCC ruling, so it doesn't really affect us. But I'd kind of hate to see that, because to the extent that it would mean that a broadcaster had to air something equal to or opposite than Flush Flimball, it would also mean that for every Mike Malloy out there, that there would have to be a Michael Savage.
And
that's just enough to bring up dinner.
That's true. Well, I didn't say it had to be exactly the fairness argument. That's what I was saying in the antitrust law. So, because I know the fairness argument isn't quite perfect either.
Well, you know, no, I think the media ownership laws need to be revisited. Six corporations don't need to control the access to information in the information age.
They sure as hell don't. Now, I'm right. Before you hang up on me, this is my thing. I might consider, I'd say to Nancy, I'd say, okay, you don't want me to impeach him? Fine. Then you go out there and investigate the base, all of his millionaires that are funding this thing, and you throw them in jail. Because I want to see the party on the die on the vine.
I want to see, you know, and I'm not saying an end to the Republican Party. I want to see this version of the Republican Party utterly destroyed.
Yeah,
because they don't want debate. They don't want to talk about the good of the nation. They want to talk about the good of themselves. This must be done away with. I mean, I've got, you know, I get all this right-wing email, Gene, and I've got one in my box right now from Grover Norquist saying that yesterday was proof that the only way a Democrat can win is by adopting Republican policies.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was thinking, I was hearing something last night about how Rahm Emanuel might start bumping up at the party now. It's like, oh, that was crap. And the way that it was phrased was like, basically, if we lost last night, there was going to be a big recrimination on the left. If we won last night, which we did, the DLC was going to take credit for it. It's like, oh.
Yeah, I know.
No, that's just not good enough.
No.
And the last thing I wanted to say was, I sent that thing earlier to John about the Greens and versus the Democrats.
Yeah, I was reading that earlier. That's quite interesting.
Yeah, that is. And what I was wondering is there a way? Can you think of a way that we could use the kind of the Greens to drag the Democrats more left?
Well, that's what I don't know that I'm. See what I do? See what you do to me?
Sorry.
I've advocated that all along. We need the Greens in the Democratic Party. Now, there are people in the Democratic Party, say at the DLC or maybe Rahm Emanuel, you know, some of these shakedown the corporations types, that the idea of having really committed environmental people in the Democratic Party makes them sit up with a flop sweat on their heads at 3 o'clock in the morning. I want them in the party because they're never going to be anything but splitters and take away from the chance of doing the kind of good work that they want to do as long as they sit out there isolated from the rest of political humanity.
Well, I don't disagree with you on that score, but I was thinking, you know, I know there are some of, I mean, we won good last night, but I'm sure we could have won better. I mean, I'm sure that Lamont would have won if he hadn't have tried to go in more toward the middle. And that's what I think I understood that he had.
Well, Ned would have won if the Republican Party hadn't abandoned their candidate in favor of Joe Lieberman.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact of the matter is Republican money won that election for Joe Lieberman, which just scares the daylights out of me about a 51-49 Democratic majority, because Joe Lieberman is the kind of capo.
Yeah.
Joe Lieberman is the kind of collaborator. Joe Lieberman is the kind of man who would make a separate peace, who would gladly, if the price was high enough, sell out the Democratic Party and go over and agree to caucus with the Republicans in order to make it a 50-50 split and give Dick Cheney the tiebreaker. And frankly, I remember in 2000 him debating Dick Cheney, and he could have gone in for the kill shot a dozen times and, oh, I don't want to engage in partisan politics. Wow.
Oh, God. Engage, for God's sakes. That's what this country needs.
We got to have engagement. You're exactly right. Gene, thanks a million.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You too. Take it easy.
Bye now. And on to our good friend Jim. Hey, Jim, welcome to the program.
Mm-hmm.
How are you?
Okay. I just might make one comment about past 24 hours.
Okay.
I mean, what you've seen is not an election. It's a revolution.
I hope it turns out to be that.
Well, that's exactly what it is. It's a revolution, and, of course, there are going to be some pretty heady times ahead for a lot of people. But in fairness to Nancy Pelosi and people like that, I think we need to give her a chance to flex her muscles, to deal with the situation at hand, and to bring about the changes that you have been discussing. Unfortunately, not all Democrats are going to become radical Democrats or far left Democrats. As a matter of fact, I think that you, by you, I mean the radical elements of the Democratic Party are basically like the Bolsheviks. They are in the minority. And that's something we're going to have to contend with.
Well, I think that's why I'm advocating that people be very, very active in their advocacy.
Now, Nancy Pelosi is an accomplished woman. She did not get to be where she is by being stupid. She's a grandmother of six from San Francisco, Bay Area, the most liberal area in the country. And I can tell you one thing right now. I can see velvet gloves on her, but I can also see steel claws underneath those velvet gloves.
That's what I'm hoping for, Jim.
Well, that's exactly what it is, to give people a chance.
And I understand that she's got to have a little bit of political cover, and she's got to fly under the radar between now and January. I understand that. I'm
Wait.
I have my positions, but I'm also a political realist.
Well, I am too.
But I want to, I want people to get out there and let her understand by letting their own members of Congress understand that we've got their backs if they want to get out there and really fight and earn their money and earn the rights that we gave them yesterday. They didn't do this. We did this.
Well, regardless of who did what, it is an accomplished fact that a revolution has occurred, and Bush is really basically in the position right now of Louis XVI or Nicholas II, when, they were both forced to give concessions and establish either the Constituent Assembly or a Duma. You understand my references?
Yeah, I do understand your references, and they're sound from a historical standpoint.
And history has a way of repeating itself, I can assure you. And George Bush doesn't want to make concessions, which will have to be immediate and concrete, then he will have to be overwhelmed by the events of history. And that's exactly what's going to happen, because under his leadership, this country has gone from rags to ruin. And he's lucky, quite frankly, to have escaped with his own head. And if he wants to keep it, then he better learn how to play ball. I mean, his co-partner, Cheney, is not only dysfunctional, but also delusional. And the next person he's got to get rid of is Dick Cheney.
Well, that's why I think any investigation that is launched into the activities of this administration has to be launched with an eye toward the investigating the activities both of the presidency and the vice presidency. We've got this grand jury investigation that's gone on forever and a day that came up with an indictment of Scooter Libby. Well, Scooter Libby was, he wasn't George Bush's guy. He was Dick Cheney's guy.
Well, back in 1974 or 1973, who was the first to go?
Spiro T. Agnew.
All right. Well, I think we could very possibly see Mr. Cheney going that route. And then, of course, as things are uncovered and things are found out, Mr. Bush may be in a position where he has to lay down the supreme power, so to speak.
Well, I hope that I want them both gone, Jim.
Well, I want to see justice done, and whatever that entails, then I say, on their own heads be it, and so let it be done, and that's it, period. But it's going to take time. It's going to take some time.
No, I understand that anything along these lines may well extend past the end of George Bush's presidency.
Well, I would think that that might be a possibility, and his kitchen cabinet of people who have ruled this country for the past 6 years, and I do believe in a measure of accountability. I mean, you know, if you do something and it's wrong, and particularly if it costs human life unnecessarily, then there are penalties for that under our legal system. And I think that that's what we're looking at. As these investigations began to unfold, and as other elements of the party leadership now in control will begin to uncover these people and demonstrate to the rest of the world exactly the chicanery that has gone on since 2000, that they're going to have to pay the price of their actions. And I don't think that's going to entail allowing them to go back and draw their retirements and to sit upon their past laurels, so to speak, and laugh at people like Nancy Pelosi or the other leaders of the Democratic Party. And there's going to have to be a very strict accounting. And I do believe it's going to happen. I really believe it will happen. But it will happen by degrees. Or otherwise, you know, I don't want to see the baby thrown out with the bathwater. I mean, we've lost too much. We've been through too much. We have seen our assets degraded.
I want to see a positive moving forward. I want to see a fixing of things that are broken, because the list of stuff that George Bush and his Republican cronies have broken in this country is almost too long to read.
Well, you know, there again, and there is accountability for one's behavior, and these people are going to have to be held accountable. But unfortunately, it just can't happen overnight. It's going to take some time. And it's going to take some time for this country to withdraw from Southwest Asia. And it's going to take some time for the errors that have been committed and for whatever types of apologies and, for lack of a better term, in other words, efforts to show the rest of the world that we have made a mistake and that we are in the position of trying to correct it, and we're going to punish those people who are responsible for the deaths of 600,000+ Iraqi civilians and the misspending of this vast sums of money. You know, we're going to have to... The whole world is watching this country right now to see exactly what we're going to do with this second chance.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't go in that direction, then shame on us. Basically, I would like to see Nancy Pelosi do what she originally said she was going to do and stick to her guns. And, you know, I would like to see a woman be president of this country. I think it's time for it. And it's time for a lot of change to occur. And, of course, change does not occur without pain. Change does not occur without a lot of things changing that will make a lot of people uncomfortable, even some of the people who may have voted for it. But that's just my position, just basically theorizing on the past 24 hours. I mean, we've seen an awful lot of events.